Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And then, if you will turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 15 as well, and verse 2. 15 and 2 in Revelation. And it says, and I saw as it were a sea, glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And so in Exodus 15 and 1, it said, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. In Revelation, it says, in the last days and after the coming of the Lord, that they sang, that's us, they are us. They sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And so this morning I want to minister to you on this wise, the song of Moses. Could we pray? Oh, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this move that we have already felt in this service, that it would continue through your word of God, Lord, through your word today. And I ask you to move in this place throughout this sanctuary, Lord, that you would cause people to find everything that you want for them, the victory that they are seeking in their own personal lives, in their family, in their community. Lord, I pray right now that we would sing the song of Moses, that we would exalt you, for you have gloriously triumphed, O God. Lord, we thank you for the victory that we've already had and for what you are doing in our lives and what you're ultimately going to do through us in this world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down and put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The song of Moses. This verse that I read in Exodus chapter 15, of course, is immediately after the children of Israel were gloriously brought out of Egypt. We all know that have been around the church very long at all that the children of Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years. Probably about 150 of that was under captivity. They were made slaves. They were made to work rigorously. They were made to work very hard. And they had the weight of Egypt brought down upon them to make them to work very hard and very rigorously. And not only that, the Egyptians were afraid of the children of Israel because they had grown and they had been blessed by God and they had multiplied so much that even Pharaoh said, if we do not deal wisely with the children of Israel, they're going to rise up and they're going to join with our enemies and they're going to destroy us. And so the Pharaoh decided that they were going to have the children, the male-born children, killed in Egypt. And of course, the midwives refused to cooperate. So Pharaoh made another decree that they would, that the army would go into the nation of Israel and go about from every house and kill the firstborn child under a certain age. And we know that Moses' mother gave birth to Moses during this time, and she hid him for a while. As long as she could keep him quiet, she hid him. But when he began to grow a little bit and the noise began to get a little louder, it was a little harder to keep him confined, as we all know that happens with children, right? It's a little harder to keep them under wraps and keep them silent, keep them still. And so as that happened, she decided that she had to do something different. So she created a basket, and she made it where it would float in the river, and she let Moses go in the river. And God had a plan, because he had ordained this child to be a leader and to be a deliverer for his children. And so we know the story. Moses, he drifted down the river into the bathing place of Pharaoh's daughter. She saw him, fell in love instantly, and began to take care of him. In fact, even had his real biological mother come in and be the nurse for him. And God gloriously orchestrated all that. And I love to say that God sent Moses to college and made the devil pay for it. Because Moses ended up in Pharaoh's house, and he had the greatest education that anybody could ever have. It was greater than Harvard and Yale. And in fact, those places are crazy these days. You don't want to go there. They'll teach you all sort of things that are not true. But anyway, that's my political statement for today. God bless you. And God bless America. But Moses went to college with Pharaoh, and all of the instructors, of course, they instructed him in warfare and instructed him in science and the things that they understood at that time. And it was one of the greatest civilizations on the planet at the moment. And so he received all this leadership training. And we know when he came to age, he realized that he was not Egyptian, because his biological mother had been putting into his heart. And God had a plan for Moses. Now, it kind of got off course a little bit. He got angry because the Egyptian army was coming down on the children of Israel, and he killed one of the Egyptian soldiers, and he had to run for his life, and he ended up on the backside of the desert, and he met his to-be wife there and married and became a part of that household. And God called him from that place when he was 80 years old, from a burning bush that was not consumed, and said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, this is the real short cliff note version of that story. I've already gone through probably like 6 chapters in just about 2 minutes. So there you go. So keep up. Because we're going to get to the crux of the story today. Because what God did through Moses, of course, Pharaoh did not want to let them go, because that was their workforce, right? They were going to have to start working on their own if they didn't have them. And so Pharaoh didn't want to let them go, but God had another plan. And so God began to reveal himself. Now, I believe that through the plagues that God brought on Egypt, it was not just happenstance. It was not just one after another, just randomly. But I believe that God had a purpose. Because if you notice, if you read the story in the book of Exodus, that every time God would tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that he would think about it. And several times he said he was going to let them go. He was going to let them do this, let them do that. But then the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, if he really wanted the children of Israel to be let go, why did he keep hardening Pharaoh's heart? Well, let me tell you, he had a purpose. He was training his people. They had been in captivity for 400 years. They had been in exile for 400 years. They didn't really understand who God was and what he was capable of. All they had knowledge of was all of these false gods in Egypt. And God was picking them off one by one. Because every plague that those men that were spiritual men, quote, spiritual men in Egypt, they could not handle the things God was giving, and God was sending the plagues that he was sending on Egypt. And every one of them were related to the gods that Egypt worshiped. And so God was basically telling Egypt, he was really teaching two lessons. He was teaching one lesson to Egypt, and he was teaching one lesson to Israel. He was telling Egypt, hey, your gods are no match for me. Everything they can do, I can do better. And when I do it, they can't control it. They can't take it away. They can't handle it. I am God. I am the God of gods. I am the King of kings. I am the Lord of lords. And he was also teaching a similar lesson to the children of Israel. Hey, I want to remind you, children. I want to remind you that I am still the God that called Abraham out of the land of Ur of Chaldees. I am still the same God that gave him a promise. I am still the same God that did the miraculous and healed and ministered and wrought victory in his life. I am your God, and I am God all by myself. And so he goes all through these plagues, and he gets down to the last one. See, God had a plan, because the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New Testament. And so the reason that Revelation says they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb is because in the Old Testament, Moses is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is a foretelling. He is a shadow of things to come. And so when they sing the song of Moses and they sing the song of the Lamb, they're really just singing the same song, but they're singing a second verse. Amen. They're singing just a continuation of the same song. And I want you to know that God is still bringing victory in people's lives. He is still parting the Red Sea in people's lives. He is still transforming people today. If you're in this house and you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, guess what? I've got a song of Moses for you. He has gloriously triumphed. He is still victorious, and he will always be victorious. Amen. And so there is no accident, no happenstance that the last plague was a plague that was related to the blood. Because remember, the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New Testament. And so the last plague that was going to come on them, Moses told the children of Israel, I want you to kill a lamb, and I want you to dress it and prepare it, and I want you to get your clothes on. I want you to get your staff in your hand, get your sandals on, pack up your stuff, because in the morning we're going to get out of here. But tonight I've got something for you to do. I want you to prepare the lamb. After you kill it, I want you to dress it, prepare it for eating. I don't want anything left. If you need help eating it, call your neighbor and say, hey, why don't you come on and help me? But in that house, there's something special that's got to happen. When you kill that lamb, I want you to take the blood, and I want you to put it in a container so that you can go to your front door. And God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, I want you to paint that blood on the side post of that door and on the lintel over the top. Amen. And when the death angel comes over tonight, that's why they call it Passover. When the death angel passes over Egypt, every firstborn child, male child, is going to die, of animal, of human, of every kind, is going to be killed unless there is the blood applied to your door. I want you to know that the same rings true today. If you don't have the blood applied, you need to get the blood applied. And before this is over, I'm going to tell you how to get the blood applied and keep it applied so you don't have to worry when you leave this house today. But I want you to know that in the Old Testament in Exodus, he told him, I want you to take that blood and I want you to paint it on the doorpost and I want you to put it across the top. Oh, parents, let me just reach out to you with this parenting note today. I want you to know that it wasn't the children's responsibility to put the blood on the house, but it was their responsibility. It was the parents. If you want blood on your house, if you want God to pass over, if you want blessing in your life, you need to put the blood on the doorpost of your house. Now you can't make your children be saved, and you can't be saved for them. That is not Bible. That is not biblical. But I want you to know that you can give them an environment where they can worship God, where they can come, where they can find salvation. You can teach them diligently when you walk by the way, when you stand, when you work, when you sit down. Amen. And so that night, the death angel came over in every household that had the blood. The angel just kept on moving. But oh, there's a cautionary tale in there. Those that did not have it, there was death. And I can't even imagine. You know, we're so desensitized with Hollywood and the things that have been filmed and been shown and been told over the time. I don't think even the worst horror movie in the history of horror movies could explain the sounds that came up that night when that death angel washed over that country, that place, and they just felt a shiver in their bones, I'm sure. And it wasn't long until Mama ran into the room and found that little baby boy not breathing anymore. And it was all firstborn, right? Firstborn male children. So many of the husbands were gone too. Amen. And they go out to the shed and out to the barn, and the firstborn lamb, the firstborn cow, the firstborn donkey is laying there breathless, lifeless. And I can't even imagine the wail and the sound that went up from those households of grief. The Bible says that the next day that Pharaoh called Moses in. He had lost his own son. He called Moses in. Just get out. Just get out of here. God knew what would happen. That's why he told him to be dressed, to have the rod in your hand, and have everything packed, be ready to go. Because tomorrow we're getting out of here. And so they get out of there. And we know the rest of the story. They get to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea's in front of them. They're mountain on both sides. They can't really get out. And they look behind them, and there is a cloud rising up in the desert. And it's Pharaoh's army bearing down on them. And that cloud that was leading them by day, the Bible says it lifted and it went behind them. And it settled between them and the armies of Israel. And God told Moses, I want you to lift up your rod over the Red Sea. And all night, the Bible says, the wind blew. And that sea parted and stood up side on each side. And the land was dry. They went across on dry land. Amen. God did a miracle. And so they get out on the other side. Hallelujah. And they look back, and the armies of Pharaoh are going down in the ocean, in the sea, coming after them. And God told Moses, lift it up again. And that sea closed in on those riders and destroyed the army. Amen. I'm telling you, let me just drop this in here. God's got a plan. Every weapon of the enemy that is formed against you, it will never prosper. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. If you will stay where God wants you to stay, and if you will give yourself and commit yourself to what God wants you to be committed to, you're not going to have to worry about the enemy. Amen. I know some people that go around, they see a devil on every doorknob. They see a devil hiding in every shadow. You don't have to worry about the devil. Amen. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible doesn't even say fight the devil. Hit the devil, pull out your sword and destroy the devil. It just says all you have to do is submit yourself unto God. And then all you have to do is say, oh, no. And the devil goes, ah. Why? Because he is not scared of you. He's scared of the one you're submitted to. And so today, if you're in a battle, don't worry about fighting the battle. Stand still and see the glory of the Lord. All you got to do before you leave this house is submit yourself, therefore, unto God. And then you just say, nope, get out. You're out of here. You have no power. And he has to run. He has to flee from you because he is fearful of the one that you fear. We do not fear the enemy. We fear God. And the fear of God removes the fear of everything else. Amen. You may be seated. And then they began to sing. They get on the other side, and the Bible says that the children of Israel, the ladies began to take out their tambourines and they began to sing. And it went something like this. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast in the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. The right hand of the Lord has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, had dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou hast sent us forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, hear what the enemy said, I will pursue and I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. That's what the enemy said. Amen. My interpretation of that is I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. And God said, not by the hair of my chinny chin. Chin. So the enemy said all that, but the song goes on. It says, thou didst blow thy wind, and see the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O God, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swaddled them. And in thy mercy hast thou led forth the people which thou redeemed. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take up hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as steel as a stone till thy people pass over. I like that the Bible used that word. They just came from Passover. And when the enemy gets destroyed because God passes over, now we come out victoriously because we get to pass over. Amen. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thy inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hand have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Amen. It's a long song. I would say it's Maverick City, but they would just repeat one verse over and over and over. That's an inside joke unless you've listened to Maverick City. For the horse of Pharaoh went in, and with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea.
And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess and the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea." And so it may sound funny when we get to Revelation 15 and 2 that the Bible references two songs in verse 3. And those that endured all of the wrath of the tribulation, those that stood, those that endured, those that did not take the mark, those that overcame the number of his name, which is, of course, the enemy, the beast, and over his image, and having the harps of God, they stand victoriously. And they begin to sing. And it may sound odd today that the Bible calls it the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. But I'm telling you, when we come out on the other side and the enemy is dealt with once and for all. In the Old Testament, the enemy was tossed and covered and destroyed by a Red Sea. And in Revelation, in the end time, he is destroyed and covered over by another Red Sea. But the Bible calls this sea a lake of fire. It does not quench. It does not stop. It always burns. The Bible says it has no bottom. It just keeps on going. There is no breadth to it, no length to it, no height to it. It is just an eternal fire. And when the enemy is cast in for that last time, and all of the things that we have had to endure and dealt with on this earth, we can sing the song of Moses like Miriam and all the children of Israel did on the other side of the Red Sea, that he has gloriously triumphed. He has saved us from the enemy. And now, not only do we sing the song of Moses, but we are singing a song of the Lamb, because it's not a temporary victory. Because, oh, Moses, he brought them out, and it was a temporary victory. There were still battles to fight. There were still cities to conquer. There were still seas and rivers to cross. But, oh, once we stand with him, we can not only sing the song of Moses, but now we sing the song of the Lamb once and for all. And we will be with him forever and ever. Oh, it's essentially the same song. It still has the blood of the Lamb applied. Hallelujah. It still has victory. The enemy has passed over. The shed blood of Jesus that brought us out and bought us so gloriously and redeemed us so powerfully. It is just the same song. Second verse. Amen. I'm telling you this morning that you can have the blood applied to your life before you leave this house this morning. Over the last 2 months, There has been very few services go by that someone hasn't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. In fact, we have one scheduled to be baptized at the end of service today. Sister Zelin, is she over there somewhere? Raise your hand. There she is. She's hidden amongst the stuff back there. I found her. So if you're in this house and you have never been baptized, so really there's three types of people we're after today. First of all, let me just tell you that baptism is not some extra icing on the cake. It's the cake. It's an essential ingredient to the cake. The Bible says you must have faith. If you're going to come to God, you got to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you believe that He is, then you will do what He said do. And in John 3, He said, you must be born again. How can I be born again? Do I enter again into my mother's womb and be reborn? No, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Jesus Himself said that. Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Simon Peter. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost had fell in the upper room and 120 received the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know they received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Because there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire and set upon each of them. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And so they all came to see what it was all about. All these people are acting crazy. They're speaking a language that we can hear, and they shouldn't even know what they're saying. They shouldn't know how to speak that language. And so everybody comes around, and Peter reads their mind. He hears the murmuring and the rumors going around, and Peter says, wait a minute. I want you to know that these are not drunk as she supposed. Amen. Notice he didn't say they weren't drunk. He just said they weren't drunk as you think they are. They're not drunk on alcohol. They've been drinking from the well of life, the well of the Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to preach. What did he preach? He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he got to the end, and they said, oh, we did that. I can't believe we killed our Messiah. I can't believe this is the one that we killed. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, just like John the Baptist said. And we killed him. What are we going to do? What must we do to be saved? How can we escape the punishment for this? And Peter said, well, I'm kind of glad you asked. He said, repent. Be baptized. Some of you, if you want to. If it's a special Sunday, if they're giving away t-shirts. No, he said, be baptized, every one of you. Why? For the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And everywhere you look through the book of Acts, and everywhere people were saved. How were they saved? They were saved through repentance. They were saved through baptism in Jesus' name. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And how did they know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Peter went back to Jerusalem after the Gentiles were filled at Cornelius' house. He said, hey, I had to baptize them. They received the Holy Ghost just like we did. Well, how did you receive the Holy Ghost? Well, we were in the upper room. The Holy Ghost fell, and we all began to speak with tongues. As the Spirit gave the utterance. And so we couldn't forbid baptism because God thought enough to give them His Spirit. Amen. Everywhere in Scripture where someone was baptized for salvation, they were always baptized, fully immersed under water. There's no such thing as baptism where you do not go under the water. The Bible calls it being buried with Him. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. So I'm reaching to close. The Bible calls it being buried with Him in baptism. You don't just lay somebody out in a field and sprinkle some dirt on their face. You put them in, cover them up. And that's the way it is with baptism. We are buried with Him in baptism. And everywhere you find in Scripture where someone was baptized for salvation's sake, they were always baptized in Jesus' name. You cannot find it any other way. If you find it any other way, I'll be rebaptized. But it's not in there. You can't find it. Everywhere where they baptize for somebody for salvation, they baptize them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so who am I after today? I'm after three types of people. First of all, you have never been baptized. The other kind, the second kind, is you've been baptized, but you were either sprinkled or you were baptized and the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, none of those are a name. If you don't believe me, just try to write a check to somebody and don't sign it. Just put husband, father, friend. The bank's going to say, nope. The authority's in the name. The Bible even says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. And so if you know you were baptized the wrong way, you need to be rebaptized. The third kind of people are those that were baptized and you're not sure. You're not sure. You were young. Maybe you weren't listening. And you're not sure what they taught. Guess what? You need to make your salvation sure. Amen. Because it's not icing on the cake. It is an essential ingredient in the cake. You got to repent. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whoever's watching online that loves to say, I talk about that too much, thank you. God bless you. You need to be rebaptized too. Amen. But we have gloriously triumphed. We are singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Because when you repent, you're identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. When you are baptized, you are identifying with the burial of Jesus Christ. And when you are filled with His Spirit and you begin to speak with other tongues as that Spirit gives the ability, the utterance, then you are rising, being resurrected in newness of life. We sing the song of Moses. Amen. The horse and his rider had been destroyed. When Jesus came and he went to the cross and he said these fateful words, he said, "It is finished." And when he said it is finished, it's as if the Red Sea just went and destroyed the work of the enemy. And so this morning you have nothing to fear today. Could we stand? If you're here and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it happened both ways in Scripture. People repented, they were baptized, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It also happened this way. People repented, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they were baptized. And so all you have to do to receive the Holy Ghost today is believe. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Seek Him diligently, because He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Repent of your sins, and it's not just saying, "I'm sorry," but it is making a decision, "I'm going to serve you, Lord, not me." And then lift your hands and open your mouth and begin to praise Him. You don't have to beg Him. It's a gift. It's a gift. He's ready. He's already bought it. He's already got it all wrapped. It's ready. He's just waiting. So all you have to do is repent and lift your hands, lift your face, open your mouth and begin to worship Him out loud. You don't have to say it loud enough for everybody to hear, but you need to use your mouth. It's very difficult to move a stationary object. But if you'll make a move, I promise you He'll meet you there. And it won't be long until you feel that stammering lips, the Bible calls it. You'll feel that overflow of the Spirit as He begins to move in you. And it won't be long until you find yourself speaking in a language that nobody taught you how to speak. And it'll begin to flow out of you like a river. Hallelujah. And then we have the water ready. We have the robes. We have the towels. We have everything you need to have your sins washed away today. Could you do something with me? Every saint, every guest, every child, every adult, could we just lift our hands and we're going to repent today? Oh, Jesus, I want you to forgive me again for my thoughts, my actions, my idle words, the things that I omitted, the things I should have done that I didn't do, for the choices that I made, Lord. Lord, forgive us. We repent and we choose your way over our way. Oh, hallelujah. When we sincerely do that, the Bible says that the heavens rejoice, the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Now, that's not the end. That's not salvation. That's the beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. If you truly want his way, then you need to be baptized today. If you truly want his way, then you need to open up your mouth and begin to worship him and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit today. And you need to begin to praise him and not worry about it, what it sounds like. Oh, can we lift our hands right now and let's stir up that gift. Let's allow it to be received today. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, these altars are open. We will pray with you. We will help you. We will strengthen you. We will worship with you when you receive it. These altars are open right now. Can we come? Can we come? Every saint, every guest, if you can, if you feel comfortable today, we want you to come, because we're not about just having a service, but we're about changing lives. We're singing the song of Moses today. We're singing the song of the Lamb, the Lamb slain for our lives, the blood shed for our salvation. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all come. Let's lift our hands and worship God. Let's allow the Spirit of God to flow through us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're here and you want to be baptized today, I want you to go back toward the sign that says, in the name of Jesus. That's the Bible way. That's the only way. Amen. We'll baptize you before you leave this house. But let's get something. Let's reach for him. Even if you don't understand everything that was said today, why don't you reach for him? The currency of the kingdom is hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yes, we're hungry today. We're hungry today. Hallelujah. Yes, we're hungry for you.